better find out what's happening with our question of the week.
Yes, it's time to go to the Naked Scientist's own heartbreaker. Diana O'Carroll, what have you got for us?
I wish. Well, this week we do have a heart-stopping question.
Hello. My name is Savio Madal Oliver from India. My question is, how does an artificial pacemaker know how fast the heart should beat?
Well, Chris, Kat, what do you think?
I've got no idea. I think it's witchcraft.
Well, no, because they're amazing technology, isn't it, pacemakers? I mean, what they're doing is sending an electrical signal to the heart to control its beating. I think the old generation of pacemakers used to beat at a defined rate, and if your heart out-accelerated it, then it didn't actually matter, and it was there just to make sure that you didn't have heart failure, because the heart was basically kept at pumping at a certain rate rather than slipping into its own intrinsic lower rhythm. I think that would be my guess, but I don't know if there are more up-to-date equipment now that can sense.
Yeah, how do they do it, Diana? Tell us.
Well, let's listen to the model answer and find out.
My name is Kathy Ross, and I'm a cardiac nurse at the British Heart Foundation. The role of an artificial pacemaker is to monitor and control the heart's natural rhythm. They're implanted for many reasons, and the way they work will vary according to the reasons for which they're implanted. In the case of a slow heart rate, for example, a set number of beats per minute will be programmed into the pacemaker according to the needs of the patient. The pacemaker will then sense through a number of wires the number of beats that are being delivered naturally by the heart's own pacemaker, which is called the sinoatrial node, and it will only interject to deliver another beat if there is a shortfall. So the pacemaker is there only for the reason for which it's been implanted. So if it's a slow heart rate and you go running for a bus, then the pacemaker will only interject if your heart rate falls below the required minimum level. Sometimes the doctors will put a maximum level on a pacemaker. So for some abnormal heart rhythms, that if the heart rate went too fast, it could cause fainting or blackouts or possibly even a life-threatening rhythm, then there may be an overriding upper level that the pacemaker will be set at, but that's quite complex. They tend to be implanted with internal defibrillators, so they will be ones that are sensing for life-threatening rhythms so that the person can receive a shock if they require it.
So a pacemaker is essentially a sensor. It only tells your heart what to do if it drops below a certain threshold.
So it's close.
Well, yeah, basically, yeah.
I was on the right lines.
Or if it rises above a set limit, which is lucky. And it's, explosions. Anyway, over on our forum, RD found a lovely nugget of research in the form of headphone interference. And apparently playing music through headphones, which are left dangling on one's chest, can influence the rate at which the pacemaker will beat, regardless of what your heart needs. I mean, I wonder if it's like if you play techno, you're like...
Yeah, but surely reggae would be the worst, because you've got this sort of arrhythmia. Yeah.
Your heart would go too slow as it was.
Or kind of very weird modern classical music. That's very arrhythmic.
What is it about iPod headphones? Because the paper was about iPod headphones. 30% of patients actually had this pacemaker interference. And there was that guy we reported on, the Naked Scientist, a while back, who had got hit by lightning.
Yeah.
And used his iPod headphones as lightning conductors.
They're not good for you, are they? But
not really.
Anyway, next week we'll be finding out about another implant.
This is Bruce Rogers of Milpitas, California. I've always wondered why tattoos didn't disappear over the years.
So, how does a tattoo hang around for a lifetime, or even several in the case of mummies? Help us answer our question of the week by email, and that's chris@thenakedscientist.com, or you can use the forum, which is thenakedscientist.com/forum.
Thank you very much, Diana, with this week's question of the week, and thank you, because we've run out of time, to all our guests, Taylor Perrin, John Williams, Richard Kirkman and Peter Jones. Next week, it's our science Q&A show, so send in all your questions to chris@thenakedscientist.com. Have a great week. See you next time.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.